All right, let's go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so we'll just continue from where we stopped a few days ago, which was on Sunday, hoping that we don't have any issues this evening. All right, look at Hebrews 12, or Hebrews 11, for time's sake. Let's just look at Hebrews 11. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 11. So I want to speak about something today that's quite, important for us as believers. Okay. Yeah, important for us as believers. I'm trusting that we are able to make the best of the next hour thereabouts. So look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. One of the emphases we've had over the last few weeks is the importance of words and how words can be used, and how words are used particularly to communicate, certain things or certain realities we want to see. We've come to understand that there are many things that are being said by default as believers to us or as human beings in this world, and requires us to always engage our words or the words of our mouth to respond to them. We looked at the fig tree to illustrate that. We looked at Jesus casting out the demons. We also looked at Jesus in Matthew 8 rebuking the winds and the sea. We also saw Jesus saying in Mark 11, 23, 24, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Right. We looked at that. We looked at John 11, Lazarus come forth. We looked at the raising of the dead by Peter in Acts chapter 9, verse 39, Tabitha come forth. Yeah. Let's look at two more things. Look at Ezekiel 37. Then I will use that to link into some of the things we want to focus on today. You know, we said it on Sunday that, you know, the truth is that I think so we spoke about breaking patterns with words on Sunday, and hopefully that was helpful as well. I think we mentioned five key areas, right? The first thing you do is what? When you see certain traits or certain patterns in itself, in our lives or in your life, all right, the first thing is to first, admit that it's something that exists, right? Something that first thing is to be aware, self-awareness. Then you agree or you accept. Remember that. Then we said you believe it can be changed. You know, I was saying that I didn't have that in my notes on Sunday, but I'm just trying to reflect back. So self-awareness, then you agree or you admit that that's the reality of life. Then the third phase is to believe it can change. Then write it down. In case you want to just flip it a little, you can just say, write it down first, then believe it can change, then talk. Right. So we said on Sunday, self-awareness, I agree, then believe it can change, then write it down. Then write down the patterns that you don't want to see. Then write down the patterns you want to see or what you now want to see. You can interchange chapter number 3 and chapter 4, or no, number 3 and number 4 together, right? And just let it be a self-awareness. The most important thing is before you begin that journey, you must start from the beginning point of what? Self-awareness. Right? Self-awareness. A lot of people are not as self-aware as you would have thought. Right. Yeah. It's a very important thing. You know, sometimes I have conversations with certain people and, you know, what I just sense from that is just, I just wish that this could have been, you know, or this person or this fellow could have been more self-aware in the reality of the trajectory their life has come through, or reality of life that they're actually facing part time, right? But you must always remember that the believer ought not to stop at awareness, because there is a bigger knowledge, there's a bigger revelation, there's a bigger, assurance that we have in the world, there's a bigger spirit of God on our inside that can help us, you know, to tackle things we are aware about. Now, we said there must be actions that will be taken definitely, but the first step is being aware, and the actions must and should be spirit led, right? So we looked at that. Look at this quick example in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, and go all the way to verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord." Excuse me. "And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, and they were very dry." Ezekiel 37, okay? All right, "and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest." Right? "Again, he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay up sinews upon you," right? Sinews upon you, right? "And will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you up with skin, and put breath into you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied. Now we said prophesying just really means being a spokesperson, or speaking on behalf, or speaking to, right? Yeah. So he says, "As I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, and bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, I learned this word a while ago, but I've forgotten that again. And the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said the Lord unto me, Prophesy unto the wind," right? "Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Right? Look at 11. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are now the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our past. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Lord of God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord." Right? So you see what was happening. This was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. This was not the book of Revelation. This was the book of Ephesians, right? You could still see the principle of using words. So Ezekiel will have an encounter, and in that encounter we have, you know, supernatural activities that he ought to partake in, right? And in particular in those activities, we saw that it was a pointer to something that God was expecting that should happen to the household of Israel, right? It's a pointer that God was expecting that should happen to the household of Israel. And how did God expect that to happen? He says, "Speak unto the dry bones." And as I spoke, what happens? They came together, right? And as they came together, winds from around, still speaking, came into their lungs and, you know, brought them back, you know, to life. So that's very important to see that, you see, those words that were spoken, right? Don't forget, right? Spirit-filled words, substantiation. Remember that teaching 2 or 3 weeks ago? Spirit-filled words, substantiation, right? Then there is the breach, right? There is the speaker in between. So the speaker in the middle, using spirit. So God will give the spirit-filled words to the speaker, Ezekiel. Ezekiel will be the speaker to speak. And in speaking, what will he see? Substantiation of dry bones coming back to life, or dry bones now getting back life, or life getting into the bodies of, you know, dry bones, bodies, or whatever you call it, in the grave, right? So you must understand that fundamentally, that's a principle. So we started looking at this principle from Genesis chapter 1. We're now saying we went through all the way to Ezekiel, and we're saying the same practice, the same principle, right? Went to Hebrews 11, right? and Hebrews 11 chapter 1 chapter 3 verse 3 was now pointing us back to Genesis chapter 1, right? So you cannot afford to be one who jokes with his words. Now, we started looking at 1 Corinthians 15:33 2 weeks ago, speaking about do not be deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners, right? So if you know your words are powerful, like we said on Sunday, many times you don't do what you know. Many times you do what you see or what you are exposed to. That's the truth. Are we together, right? You do what you see. You do what you are exposed to. So the major thing you need to always pay attention to as well is the fact that you need to be careful about the things that you expose your heart to. That means if you don't want it in you, don't allow it what around you. Right? If you don't want dishonor for the things of the spirit to become something that, you know, you will not partake of, don't allow people who dishonor the things of the spirit around you. You get the point, right? If you don't want to learn the practice of insult, if you don't like to be insulting people, right? We check it very well. If you look at insults that people grew up, you know, saying, they most likely saw it somewhere, was their environment. Do you understand that there are some insults I cannot give, right? There's some insults I cannot say. Like, I've never fathomed or even, I know about some of those insults, but I can't just say it because I've not been exposed to it, right? Yeah. And there are many things I will say in certain scenarios. And the only reason I'm saying those kind of things is because I've been exposed to those kind of scenarios. You know, I remember I had a friend who left the country a couple of years ago, left Nigeria, you know, where I'm from, a couple of years ago, right? And as soon as he just came into the UK, you know, stayed a little, you know, walking. And before you know it, he just started using swear words comfortably. He's someone I've known for a while. He just comfortably started using swear words. Yeah. What happened? You see, by default, the world is already impressing or giving you are impressionable by default. And the world is already impressing values into you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You see, in this world, you are never neutral. You are never neutral. No. You're never neutral. Yeah. Even Jesus knew that. That's why the Bible says he answered the fig tree. You are never neutral, right? So if you are not intentionally learning God's word, you are by default learning the systems of this world. That is the default. You see, it's not, there's nothing like indifference. Yeah? Your indifference in itself is actually a slant towards the, you know, the systems of this world, right? So if you get yourself in an environment where people say, you know the funny thing, you would have thought that person was, and you know, interesting thing, the person actually left the country for the first time in their lives, right? At this time, they left the country. You get the point, right? And they were barely 3 months in, right? And they started using all the swear words and using all the, you know, all manners of words that they got used to at work. Well, you could also argue that maybe it's from the movies they had gotten used to it, but I'd never heard them use any of those words, right? So if you don't want it in you, you don't allow it around you. Now, if by default, you know, I was explaining something to you, was it on Sunday or 2 Sundays ago, right? There are scenarios or situations where you cannot as much influence the things that will be around you. You can't as much influence how people will walk in the workplace. You can't as much influence how people will use, use words in the workplace. All right. You know, there are some very, what's the word? Figurative, parabolic, there's some ways we communicate certain things within the workspace, for instance. So, for instance, imagine, you understand what I'm trying to say. Imagine someone is trying to communicate to people that you are trying to cover your tracks, or you're trying to cover your back. Right. You know, that statement can be said in so many ways. And the funny thing is, I've been at work over the years and I've seen that being said in diverse ways. But there's never been a time when it has come to my mind to use as an example in my communication. Then I'll hold myself. And the only reason is simple, right? Because I know that if you are submitting yourself to the environment and the influence of the world you find yourself, right? And you are not paying attention to something bigger, something else, right? By default, you are going to be impressed with those ideologies, those thoughts, those ideas, as it were, right? You know, from the environment you find yourself. Like I was saying on Sunday with the example of, you know, traffic lights meant for those who install the traffic lights. The truth is that by default, you are seeing it before you know you become used to it. Do you understand? You become used to it. You become used to it. You see different things happen. Have you not noticed that a lot of times, many people, for instance, when they're in the car, they can finish drinking a bottle of something and wind down their glass and throw it out. Yeah, you saw it while you're growing up. You understand? Yeah, you saw it while you're growing up, right? So it's just what you allowed in the environment has now become your character. It has now, because we are products of influence. We are products of our experiences. You get the point, right? So once you start taking note of any of those, you know, interesting patterns, traits, characters, features, you know, try trace it back. Where did you see it? So it means for you to move past that, like I said, first be aware, then you must first agree it can change, or agree that it's something that exists, right? Then you can, you know, believe it can change. Like I said, you can have a switch, right? But you must, like I said, you must first be aware that is a problem, right? Right. See, you see, don't use swear words, right? And just allow it to be one of those things. No. When you use swear words, right? Maybe at work or anywhere or in anybody, right? I've never been so agitated or irritated or angered that I'll use swear words. It's never happened. Do you understand? Now, if at any point or any time in my life that happens, that will just be a litmus test to show me something. Do you understand? I don't need to fight with myself. I just need to admit something. And what is that thing? I have allowed the influence of this word to influence me, and I'm not paying as much attention to the written word, or I'm not having as much godly help and counsel around me that would influence me more positively to have a man, you know, a believer, the life of a believer, right? The words of a believer ought to be seasoned with grace, right? The words of a believer, the utterance of a believer needs to, you know, come with fresh air. So if someone, no matter, think about it. I always give this example. I remember the first time I gave this example many years ago. You remember I was talking about that teaching in 2014, you know, in school. I think I said that on Sunday, right? When I went to preach, I said a lot of things in that meeting. I think the one I mentioned on Sunday was, a tree that has stones because it has a fruit, right? Then I think I said, I got distracted by that. So one of the things I wrote as well in that conversation in that meeting was if you take a sponge and you dip a sponge inside a bottle of water or inside a bucket of water, if you take that sponge or a foam, say you take a foam, right, take that foam and put it on the table. When you press that foam, right, what comes out? Water. If you take that same foam and dip it into a bucket of paint, when you press that foam, what comes out? Paint. If you take that same foam and put it into a bucket of, of Sprite, right? What comes out? Sprite. So I was doing that to teach about, you know, the product, how we are product of influence. And if there's a side of you that comes out when life gets tough, that is really who, let me say that differently. That's not who you are in Christ, right? But those are the muscles you've built as a human being. Did you get that? Yeah, those are the muscles you've built. Yeah, you are righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are sanctified. You are holy. You are set apart. You can see all of that. Yeah, but the fact remains that the character building part of yourself as a human, right? The muscles, the veins, everything that is making you or making or that makes you, right, is what you see under pressure. Are we together, right? Forget about all this one. You know, when you're writing your CV or when you're doing a project, your professional summary or your CV, you say, I'm very good at working under pressure. I will, until they show you real, real, real pressure. You get, right? So if you are pushed to the wall, right? And you turn back and the first thing you do is to run down someone with an insult, right? Yeah, that's who you've built yourself around, or those are the muscles you've built over the years. Yeah. And like I said on Sunday, there are many things we saw in our parents that we actually wish we don't want it in our families. But if you are not intentional to take the bull by the horn, you would actually end up repeating what you saw. Why? Because you don't do what you know. You do what you're exposed to. So you know that what you saw was wrong, but that was what you saw. It was what you're exposed to. When life pushes you to the wall and you're supposed to react, you will by default, subconsciously, right, react with what you've built your muscles and your veins with over time. So God will say to Ezekiel, say to this, bones, in the real sense, Ezekiel by default over the years, over time, would have proved to be someone who has built his faith. Altogether, right? You know, sometimes you can, your daily activities or your experiences you have in life can somehow even influence the kind of revelation you have or the kind of dreams you have. You get the point, right? A lot of times, if we're not careful, we begin to build a world around, build a world around ourselves, a world around ourselves based on the experiences we've had over time, right? Have you not found out that if you grow up in a church environment where demons are usually casted out every service? Now, ideally, believe Christ, demons should be casted out from, you know, demon-possessed people when and where necessary, right? But if you find yourself in an environment where every Sunday service is used for casting out demons, there's something it does to you, right? You know, it makes you suspect a lot. You know that? Yeah? It makes you suspect. You just unnecessarily suspect people. You get what I'm trying to say? You unnecessarily suspect people. You unnecessarily just feel like, ah, this person, ah, that's a demonic. I've seen that character before. That's a demonic. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? It is what you are exposed to. Yeah? What you are exposed to that will influence how you even view life, how you even see life. Right? Yeah? If you go to a place where the pastor or the leader or the whatever is in front and every service day is always using people to play football because he wants to fall them down. You know how you put someone far, you want to fall them down because you're... Those things are building a world for you. More often than not, you will just see yourself, you are rooted in fear. So I'm saying to you that if you find yourself always rooted with fear, always acting in fear, always fearful, right? See, don't fight with anybody. Don't quarrel with anybody. Just see it as a signal to show that you are building your life more to be in tune with the kingdom of this world than to be in tune with the kingdom of God's word or God's word. You get what I'm trying to say, right? If you are very fearful, yeah, just say it as a litmus test, right? If you are always believing the worst of every situation, just no need to argue with it, right? Just see it as something that you've exposed yourself to, either subconsciously or consciously, right? So look at Proverbs 13:20 as well. Look at Proverbs 22. We looked at the importance of walking with the wise. If you walk with the wise, you shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed, right? So a wise man walking with wise men, eventually wisdom will rub up on you, even if you did not intend. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? If you walk as a wise man with wise men, right? Even if you did not intend, your intention was not to be wise, you will be wise. It's the same way if you walk with a fool, if you're a man or woman, you walk with foolish men or foolish women, right? Your intention is not to be foolish. You just end up being foolish. And a lot of times when you act foolish, you will not even know within yourself that you're acting foolish. More often than not, you know, like they say, life is lived forward and understood backwards. Life is lived forward and understood in retrospect. A lot of times you now realize, oh, I was acting very stupid, acting very foolish. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Yeah? If you see, check it very well. Yeah? If you see with people in relationships, for instance, maybe, you know, I'm talking about young relationship, maybe secondary school relationship, and let's say university, just not married people generally is what I'm talking about, right? Yeah? And you see a lady who is being maltreated by a guy who she is dating and she still stays there. Check it well, right? It's an experience. It's what she has exposed herself to, right? There's fear that has gripped her heart. There's something she has seen. There's something she's seen, right? I'm talking about consistently being maltreated. I mean, you are being flogged, you are being beaten, you are being rubbish, you are being ridiculed, right? And you are not married. You're like dating, right? And you are still, you know, just, you know, saying, no, 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 I believe the best. I believe you will change. That concept of I believe will change is still an experience, yeah? You've walked enough with very foolish people, yeah? So even you, it is after when they maybe beat you to coma, right? You now recover, then they arrest him and he stays in jail, that you will now start thinking properly and not realizing that I'll be truth. It's like I was acting foolish. But in the heat of the moment, yeah, that's because if you walk with the law of life, if you expose yourself to foolish conversations, right? Yeah. Or perhaps, like I said, sometimes it may not even be your fault. It could just even be that the home you were brought up in, lots of foolish actions and decisions were taken. All right. Yeah. So it's very important for us to pay a lot of attention to these things. Now, you know, this is going to lead into what I wanted to talk today, between today and tomorrow. And it's something around the concept of having a community or a company. Having a community or a company. Having a community or a company. Right. Having a community. Let's look at Acts 4:23 quickly. Acts 4:23. Look at Acts 4. No, that's 4:23. And being let go, they went to their own what? Company. Are you there? Acts 4:23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all of them, or all that is in them. Who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen reach, that's Psalm 2, and the people imagined vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed, or his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou art anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold, they are threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Lord Jesus, by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And look at verse 31, 1, 2, 3, go. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And they speak the word of God with boldness. Dear saints, yeah? It is good and blessed to have a company of people who can be filled with the Spirit and speak the word alongside with you. Now, this is something that, you know, is ideally required or necessary for a believer. Because look, I would always say, believers are not created to walk in isolation, right? So if you look through Acts chapter 4, you look through the context of what was happening there, you know, they were just before the Sanhedrin, right? And they had just finished healing the lame man, look all the way from the previous chapter, right? So they were preaching Christ in the temple, you know, and the people in authority were threatening them and were commanding them to stop speaking about the name of Jesus, right? Now, they could either do one of two things, either isolate or just treat it as one of the, you know, the things you would expect in following Jesus and serving Jesus, right? But one thing we see very clearly there was that they actually went home, but did not just go home. They went home in the sense of they went to what you call a community, a people, altogether, right? So it says, being let go, they went to their own company and reported and said, you see, let me tell you, whilst, you know, there's a need to keep your heart away keep your heart from unbelief, dishonor, offense, and the likes. You see, one of the things I don't want us to do as a local church, right, is to find ourselves in a position where we're not as much capitalizing on the spiritual part of the relationship that exists with us. Are we together, right? You see, we should. It's ideally okay for us to have a relationship as members or as church where we can have ourselves, you know, come together, right, to pray or to agree on a matter or to agree on something. Are we together, right? Now, that could be in two forms. It could be in from the church perspective as a whole church, as a community. I think we've done that. I think we did that again in our last prayer and evangelism day as well. We can have those sessions as well in place, right? And we can also have, you know, specific relationships and friendships that we're building. So as we're building friendships in church, as we're building relationships with church, there should be those you know that you should be able to trust with certain matters to agree with you on prayer or agree with you in prayer, right? It's a very key thing. Now, it's very easy for you, right, to in the quest. Obviously, I mean, we're growing church, right? So, and a lot of us are starting to understand and know ourselves gradually. Sometimes it takes time, right? But I'm trying to say to you that whether it takes time or doesn't take time, the most important thing for you to always remember is that there is a lot to capitalize on what you call a company. Altogether, there's a lot to capitalize on what you call a company. Now, for starters, it can be your partner, your wife, your husband, your children, right? I remember, you know, you see, one of the things that I enjoyed while growing up is the fact that we as a family had ourselves as a company, our company. Like, you know what it means to, it's one thing to have an idea or to say like, oh, we have our back, we've got our back, oh, we are there for ourselves. No, I knew definitely, I saw definitely certainly patterns of ensuring that we dealt with things. So what do I mean? It means there are certain scenarios and situations that might be disturbing our learning. And what we do is we call for a 3 days fast. We call for a 4-5 days fast, right? We pray and fasting, right? We call for a vigil. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So as five of us, that's a family, that's a company. Do you understand, right? But I'm saying much more than that. You should be able to have friends, right? If all your friends are always gisting friends, gisting partners, gisting friends, we are not as much capitalizing on the strength of the supernatural relationship that we have. Are you following me today? Right? Yeah. You see, you don't have to get yourself to be overthinking things and be saying, before they say we are dividing the church, before, no. You see, a lot of times, when we begin to think that way, right? Sometimes it's actually a product of, number one, it could be our experiences, right? It could be like something that is new to us. Two, it could also be a lot of, excessive overthinking. Right, when you are another way you can call it is you are trying to play safe. Do you understand? See, we cannot afford to, because, right, we don't want offense. I'm trying to say to you that you know when things are troublesome, gracious Father. Right, so if you come to my house and I come to your house and you say something to me and I say something to you, I believe you are mature enough to know if what I'm saying to you should poison you or is poisoning you or will poison you. Now, you will not always know. Do you understand? What if you have someone who is always coming to your house, right? And the first day they came, you just said they found a way to just talk about something that somebody did to them that upset them and, you know, the person, and talking, expressing how much they hate the person and everything, okay? First day it happens, mind you, there should have been a sense of relationship before even that could be done. But imagine if that's what happened first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth day. Then that's where you can know how to draw the line, how to be careful, right? Yeah, but you don't have to feel excessively out of place. If someone just says to you, oh, you're my friend, we've been talking for a while. Yeah, I'm trusting God for this and that to come out. I'm trusting God for healing in this part of my body. Can we just agree in prayer? All together. It's very important. Yeah. You see, as a pastor, I have people like that. Do you understand? I have people like that, right? I have people who I can reach out to, and the reason to reach out to them is just basically to just to speak to me or agree with me in prayer on a matter, on a subject matter. You get what I'm trying to say? So if you look through this, so I'm trying to say, there are certain things we go through. God doesn't expect us to go through them alone. Did you get that? There are many things we go through as believers. God doesn't expect us to go through them alone. Now, we live in a world where people use matters and stories that people are going through as a gist pattern, as a gist pattern or storyline. You get the point, right? Yeah, it's a different thing if we have come here for believers meeting, say, let's come together and pray. Let's come. I want us to pray for, you know, so and so family. I heard that the daughter, you know, was slapped the mother. Don't flinch. I just want us to take our time and pray. What are you doing? Yeah, you are trying to create gist. You are trying to prepare the ground for gist. You are trying to give analysis, right? What about if you just come and pray? What about if you come together and just say that the peace of God reigns in their home? Yeah. Now, also, if you as a person, think about it though. You see, Peter and John, right? They could have gone home, kept quiet, locked their doors, and processed what happened privately. Do you understand? You know it's an option. Yeah? You can go through things, and you think the best way to do it is actually to keep short about it. Right? I'm not saying the best way about it is to go and tell the whole world. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you should have, among the supernatural relationships you've come in contact with, you cannot tell me everybody wants your downfall. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You can't tell me that there is nobody who is saying, and if all your supernatural relationships, there's nobody who you can trust, then you have a problem. Altogether. You have a problem. Because if you've been able to, if you think you are discerning and you obey the leading of the Spirit well enough, and God has led you well into local churches of different countries, different parts of the world you've been to, and there's not one person you've built a formidable relationship with that you can call, this is my company, this is my person, right? That you can say, oh, brother, please, can you help me agree in prayer on this thing? I just saw a growth under the armpit of my son. Can we just agree in prayer, right? And the person will do what? Now, let's look at Acts 4 again. Right? So, they went, they reported all that the chief priest Herod had said. They went to their company, right? They reported, right? So they brought the truth into a room full of people who you call their company, right? And they laid it before their company, right? Now, what did the company not do? They did not panic. If you look very well, right? They did not commiserate. They did not panic. They did not get into panic mode, right? What did they do? They opened the scripture. Did you see that? How do you know they opened the scripture? I think I said it when I was reading it, right? Is that not correct? Psalms. Were you following or were you not following? Right? Are you people my company? Right? Psalms what did I say? Psalms what? 2. Remember that? Yeah? So they were reading from Psalm 2, right? And they opened the scripture, right? And they built their prayer from the pages of the scriptures. I'm saying you should have people that you should be able to relate with, have a relationship with, and say, can we pray about this matter? Can we take our time and fast about this matter? Can we take our time and see and ensure that we'll give ourselves to prayer? Altogether. Very, very, very important. Very, very important. Yeah. So, prayer of agreement is what I'm teaching about. Prayer of your company. Prayer with your company. Yeah. Prayer in one accord. Right? So what happened? Matters were tabled in the midst of the company. Right? They used the scriptures and prayed using the scriptures. When they prayed using the scriptures, Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and now gave out word of faith. Did you say that? Go back there. Go back there. Acts 2. Go back there. Go back there. Right? It says, and verse 31. They prayed with what? The scriptures. What scriptures did they pray with? Look at verse 26. 25, who by the mouth of the servant David had said from the scriptures, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? So they prayed regarding that matter, voraciously using the scriptures. They prayed with the prayer of agreement, prayer in faith, right? Bible now says when they prayed, the place was shaking. That means you need people in your company who will pray for your situations or your conditions or your issues as though it was theirs. Did you see that? Who will pray on that matter and insist that God will, you know, that God will do something about that matter, or that something will happen about that subject matter, or that something will change? Are we together? Right? So the place was assembled. So when he says the place was shaken, what you should see, summarily, the people who should be your company should be able to invest their emotions on your matter. Are you with me? Yeah? They should be able to invest their emotions. In fact, there's a way that you will see that they will pray for you. You yourself, you will feel at peace. Yeah? Have you heard people teach about what you call some people call it the note of victory. You've heard that teaching before, right? Yeah, the note of victory. Yeah, so what they really mean by that is just that when you pray, you have a sense of peace in your mind. Are we together? Many of us, all we know about our Christian life and all our company knows is note of victory. How can I tell you I'm having a problem in my job, in my work, and they're about to fire me? And you're saying, we just want to give God praise. Let's just give God praise. Let's give God praise. And there's place of giving praise. There's place of ensuring that your emotions is invested so the place can shake. Right? Yeah. What can your prayer be? Maybe either you call the prayer point, the company should do well so they should have more money to pay you, more salary, so they will not make you do that. Another opportunity will open. Regardless of that, I'm sure you must have people to whom you share the same faith with, and you must be able to be open to them to let them know this is what is happening. You know? This is how we deal with this thing. You know? Can you join me in faith? Because a lot of times when challenges throw its ugly face at us, right? One of the first things it does is it shakes our faith. So you want people who are not as much emotionally invested in the issue to now become emotionally invested in the prayer of the issue. Are you following me? Yeah? You want people who are not as much invested in the issue to now become become emotionally invested in the praying or the prayer of the issue. Are you following me today? Right? Hopefully you're learning something. Right? So build that company. See, dear saints, we have many of us around ourselves. We should be able to have 1-2 families to themselves saying that, oh, see, we have built a relationship over time, right? And this is something that I'm going through. Please, let's just pray together. All together. Let's just pray together. So I understand that many a times what usually happens, what has even happened in local church more often than not, is that many a times I as a pastor, I'm the one that's usually most majorly involved in, you know, in issues like that, from family to post and everything. But I'm saying there should be more to that. Do you understand? There should be more to that, right? We can build on the strength of our supernatural relationship. So they prayed. And what happened? In agreement, one accord, and the place was shaking. The Holy Ghost filled them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at the result of the prayer. Now, hold on. What happened in Acts 4? They were embarrassed for the sake of the gospel. They were instructed not to preach the gospel again. Do you remember that? Whose emotions would have been felt when that instruction was communicated, don't preach the gospel again? Peter and John. Right? So, no matter how strong you are in the faith, that kind of thing can shake you. But guess what? The people who were at home, the complaint that were at home, that they went to go and meet, did not witness the scenario that happened in Acts 4. Are you following now? Right? They were only told the story as a reported speech. Altogether, right? They were only told the story as a reported speech. So eventually, their emotions were not involved with the issue originally, but their emotions were involved in the prayer of the issue. How do we know? They were praying, the place was shaking. Altogether. So it means that as we even do the work of ministry, as we do the work of preaching and evangelism on the road, you can go out together. You can go out for evangelism. And on your way of evangelism, you experience hardness of heart when you went to preach. And you go back to a friend, a fellow member, a brother, a sister, and say, brother, I went out today. Kai, the wickedness in the heart of men is so terrible. It was just so bad. And you finish talking. And the person you came to speak to doesn't say, it is well, oh. God will just keep helping his church. You are the help that man needs now. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are the help that person who is reporting needs immediately. Right? Why not just switch? So, in fact, I started doing it right now a lot of times with people. And so before, when I say before, not too long, you know, as a man, you're supposed to be growing, you're supposed to be evolving. So a couple months ago, maybe probably years ago, right? I'm always a person who a lot of people have issues that they bring and drop on my table. I'm always there and all of those things. So it got to a point where I subconsciously started holding myself much more accountable to the people who I pastor, right? Yeah, so there is no member of God's palace who I will be speaking to and I will listen to whatever you are telling me casually. It doesn't happen, never happens. Altogether, right? But the number of people who are not members of God's palace that have those issues that come to me are obviously more than members of God's palace. So a few months, years ago, one of the things I'll do is, let's skip that. But nowadays, if before, what I would do is, what can I do, blah, blah, I'll talk less and move on. The first thing I do nowadays is, before you even talk plenty, I know there's an issue. We would rather we pray about the issue on the call than for us to use 2 hours of a call for you to be giving me the nitty-gritty and the inside out of the issue. Right, so it doesn't get difficult for me right now. Let's just pray. Let's just agree in prayer. We believe and trust God. Yeah, I want to say let's agree in prayer. We believe and trust God. Anything that makes you want to still continue that story after prayer, I need to run away from you. Yeah. If after you now, after I say let's agree in prayer, and we agree, you know, say, it was so painful. No. Right, because prayer, as we've done, right, should be an expression of faith that we believe that issue should change. Altogether. Right? So you can be the one standing in public in front of everyone, but don't stand alone in public, right? And go back to your closet and always stand alone. There is strength in agreement. Are you with me? There is strength in agreement. There is strength in agreement. All together. Yeah? There's strength in agreement. Right? So a lot of us build relationships with ourselves, and all we do about our relationships is just to gist, talk about everything and nothing, right? Talk about what happened, what is not happening, but there is no what you call koinonia, what you can call fellowship. Right? Yeah. It's only in our day and time warehouse fellowship of churches is actually to go and play police and thief. What was that game that Brasije used to lead again? Right? It's only in our generation right now that is called house fellowship. Yeah, we say we're reproducing Acts chapter 2 and the fellowship and broke bread with each other. And all we did was police and thief. Yeah, after police and thief finish, we bring what card? Yeah, they will now bring, describe the word. And you say it's house fellowship. What a generation will find ourselves in. Do you understand? It's a different thing if you pray, that you pray together for 1 hour, you fellowship around the world for 1 hour, right? And in fact, some people now, if they hear me say this 1 hour, what they will now do is now, at least let's pray for 5 minutes, let's fellowship around the world for 5 minutes. Have we fellowship to have enough fellowship? You pray for 5 minutes, you study the word for 5 minutes, you now have someone to read the devotional for all of you, right? They use the main 2 hours to be shouting and be pulling police and thief, villagers and what? There's one new one. What's that one? It's villagers and something. Yeah, villagers and, what's the word? Just so you might be able to get villagers and crook or something like that. Mafia, I got it. Villagers and mafia. Right? And everybody's looking forward to the next house fellowship to play villagers and mafia. Altogether. Now, there was nothing wrong in playing villagers and mafia. But come of it. Why, how should villagers and mafia be a much more solid activity than praying and reading the word? Do you understand? Yeah, do you understand? Yeah. So we must ensure that we draw the line between having lunch together and understanding what the concept of true fellowship should be. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, there's a difference. Right? There's a difference, right? So you can call playing mafia a branch of fellowship in the 21st century. But if we go back to biblical fellowship, right? Understand, go to Acts 2. Let's see in Acts 2 now. Let's see. I think it's Acts 2, right? Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, I think Acts 2, 42, I believe. Yeah? If you see, look at Acts 2, 41. Then they that were gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. Now, what happened with 3,000? So, Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. Is that correct? In what? In the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. All together. And in prayers. Yeah, that's not a good place to explain the word and, as I mean to say, that is to say. All together. Right? So, they continued in fellowship, right? In breaking of bread and in prayers. And in prayers. All together. Right? So they were not only how do you know they had communion in terms of the word and prayer? The Bible says they continue steadfastly in verse 42 in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine is not sharing of food or sharing of bread. No. So there is sharing of food, there is eating, but amongst eating, more than eating, there is giving of coffee. But much more than giving of coffee and sharing of vanilla cake and marble cake, right, is a continuous steadfastly in the word and in prayer. Guess what? How many of them? 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls, right? So we can eat together, have social interactions, go and play chess together, play golf together, right? Play table tennis together. In fact, those are things that we should do. We should actually try and see how to grow into all those things. It's lovely. It's beautiful. But not at the expense of not having a sense of complaint that we can pray together, fellowship together, share our burdens with. All together, right? Yeah. So God has designed the world for us not to do it alone. Are we together? Right? God has designed the world for the world not to be lived alone. Talk more of the Christian faith. That is why when anybody is born again, the first thing you are assured of is a family. Do you get that? The moment anybody gets born again, the moment anybody receives Jesus into their life, the first thing you are assured of is a family. The problem, what you have is family. You can never not have a family. Your problem might be to identify which part of the family union you want to be a part of, or which part of the family do you want to join, right? But you are born into an inheritance. You inherit family members. You inherit siblings in the faith. You get the point? So Jesus sharing his blood for the cross for the believers on the cross and by the resurrection is not for the believers to live in isolation. Now, what was the feedback or the result of the prayer that shook the place? Look at Acts 5. Acts 5, 41. Look at Acts 5:41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look at 42, 1, 2, 3, go. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to what? Teach and preach Jesus Christ. Can we say in bracket, can we say they ceased not to fellowship with themselves? Is that correct? Yeah? They ceased not to fellowship with themselves. They ceased not, in every house, they ceased not to fellowship with their friends. So they continued the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayers. All together. So the fruit of their prayer was that they were emboldened to go preach, right? They still went back to preach after prayer and they were still flogged, right? Are you following? Acts 4 was when they went to their company. Acts 5 was when they were flogged. Acts 5 was when they were flogged and they were beaten by the same council and they left that place rejoicing. That's the fruit of prayer. Are we together, right? Yeah, that was the fruit of prayer. That was the fruit of prayer. Right? So where did that boldness come from? Well, I would say to you, it came from the backup, the praying complaint that was behind them who went out to preach and were flogged. Altogether, so human beings are not meant to live in isolation, right? Pastor would always say that we are deficient by nature and sufficient by association, right? We are deficient by nature and sufficient by association. It's God's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. You can't fight it. It's God's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. All together. So, like I said, there's the part of paying attention to relationship and part of paying attention to, you know, the people you want to be in agreement with, to be sure that their minds are there with you, to be sure that their minds are, you know, are going to be involved in praying for that issue, you know, together with you. Because the fact remains that whatever you associate yourself with, right? If you are not careful, it will only multiply. So if what, you know, many people build friendship based on offense. Altogether. Have you seen people who eventually, you know, things play out in a certain way, maybe amongst a group of friends or something, and just realize that two friends that left that crew that did not used to seem as if they were close, all of a sudden become very close publicly. Altogether. Right? Yeah, more often than not, right? Whatever you allow as a foundation of a relationship, we are not careful, might be what will now, you know, predetermine how that relationship can go. Altogether. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, 26. So Numbers 13, 26, we read all the way to 33 quickly. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and he said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with what? Milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, that the Canaanites dwell in the sea and the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look at 31. But the men that went up with him said, we will not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Do you understand what's happening? How can you so much see yourself as grasshoppers in the sight of people, and on behalf of the people, you still saw yourself through their lens, and you saw that through their lens, they still see you as grasshoppers? Altogether, right? So the person you tell your story and your issue to can either make or mar that story, or make that make or can either compress that issue or amplify the issue. Do you get that? Yeah, the people you tell your issues to. So there's a downside which I believe a lot of people are careful about. But once you're taking care, you don't have to be overly protective. You get what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. So what happened? Moses sent 12 spies into the land. What did they see? They all saw the same land. They returned to the same community, the same company, right? But they brought back two different reports. Two different reports were brought from the same people that went to see. They probably stood at the same heights to see what they wanted to see, right? Then two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, "The land is exceeding good." He says, "If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land. Fear them not." Altogether. So the same data was seen by all of them. However, there was a set of people that had a different declaration. Altogether. So if you look through chapter 14, go to chapter 14 again. So you're in Numbers 13, chapter 14. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword?'" Verse 4, "And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that set the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company, right, of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly good land,'" right? If the Lord delights in us, which is what I just quoted, if the Lord delights in us, right, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which for we cannot only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in tabernacle and congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 11, "How long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which they've seen?" Right? So we will keep reading. Go all the way to verse 26. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, 'How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmur of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall." You know, this is what you see from Hebrews chapter 3. "Shall fall in the wilderness, and all that are numbered of you, according to the whole numbers for 20 years and upwards, right, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make dwelling, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall to wilderness, and children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear." So you see what's happening, right? So in the real sense, you see, agreement is a powerful conversation in both directions, and it's very important. You can see people who can agree to see the negative of every situation, and can see those who can agree to see the positive of every situation. The first thing you identify in friendship is, do you have friends who are optimistic, and do you have friends who are pessimistic? You know, I tell you, I have different groups of friends. I have friends that, yeah, it has never happened though. But I have friends that if I want to walk in the flesh to somebody, I know how to call. I know who to call. What do I mean by that? Right? If somebody does something bad to me and I want someone to make me see the light to which I did not see that evil, I know who to call. And they will make me see the great light of evil that person did to me that I did not even see. Yeah, that kind of person is not the person where you have an issue, you go and meet to pray with you now. Do you understand? You should have noticed before then. You get the point, right? So agreement is powerful in both directions. A community that agrees in fear will produce what? More fear. A community that agrees in faith, what will it do? It will stir up more faith in you. Peter, John goes back to a company of faith people, faith-filled people, and that stirred up faith in them, and they went back to go and preach, and were flogged. That was faith mixed with boldness that they received because of their community. Altogether. So if you are in a community that everything they do is to complain, yeah, we are small in their eyes, and even in their eyes, we know we are small, right? You will produce people that complain. So a believer must always be very careful who they will agree with, definitely. Like I said, but the goal is not to be overtly careful where you are becoming very suspicious. Altogether, right? So don't absolutely, I said, people who are always murmuring. You have a friend who is always complaining, always murmuring. You know what it means to murmur? Like B. You already know that's their lifestyle. Yeah. A murmuring person will really be a person who can pump faith in the life of another. Perhaps, except to only show another the kind of person they should not be. Are we together? Right? So murmuring, complaining must not be something that comes out from the vocabulary of people you are dealing with. And even your own vocabulary as well. Altogether, right? So, but when you have the agreement in the right direction, right? What you see is words of faith, spiritual words. Acts chapter 4, you said that was produced. There was a shaking when they were praying, then the filling of the spirit, then a boldness. So the issue came, they prayed, the place was shaking, they were filled with the spirit, they spoke words, right? And eventually what happens, they had boldness and they continue doing what they were doing. So you can call it a public impact. Altogether. Right? So it must be built on revelation, must be built on the scriptures, must be built on people who you would have seen their lives, seen the things they pay attention to over time. Altogether. So I'll just close it. You see, the believer ought not to be, like I said, a lone ranger. I can't remember if it was church I was saying this. It's probably leaders. Okay, I said this in our last leaders meeting, last week Friday. Right, that we are not called to be lone rangers. We're not called to be lone, you know, to walk alone. Are we together? Right, we're not called to walk alone. Let me tell you, the first thing the devil does when he wants to get the best of a person is to isolate them. Yeah, the first thing the devil does when he wants to, when you start thinking isolation, you see people trying to say, no, I don't want to go to any church. I don't know, the devil is already playing. The devil has typed the programming language. Right, and pressed enter, and the code is running, but they don't know. No, the church is just that. No, the church is so full of so terrible people. I think we were on evangelism a few weeks ago. I think when someone was saying to me that, you know, all the pastors are, you know, all, I don't like, I see African pastors, were even saying African pastors are based, they are so money driven. And I said, how many churches? I said, you've been in this Edinburgh for how many years? Right? He said, I think maybe 20 years. I can't remember the number he said. Right. So you've been in this Edinburgh for 20 years, right? And you never heard about God's Palace. You get the point, right? So God's Palace has been around for 3+ years to be 4 years and another 3 months thereabouts. You've never heard about God's Palace, but you've been in Edinburgh. Yet you are certain that every black preacher is a money grubber. Yeah. So if you find yourself in that situation, when just people like that, they always want to, I don't believe in any church. I do fellowship in my house. That this brother too, that's what he said he was doing. Him and his family, they wake up every Sunday and they do fellowship. And they have service in their home. Blessed be God. All together. But let me tell you, the devil is already playing the game. All together. The devil is already playing the game. If God knew that the fellowship that you had with your family was sufficient for you, there was no need for local church. Get it now? If God knew that the fellowship that your wife will bring to the table and your children will bring to the table, perhaps how many children do you want to give birth? Do you possibly have? If that was sufficient enough, no need for local church. Right? Matthew 28 verse 18, should I just said, and he gave the power, and he says, go into the world and, you know, not even, what, you even have to go into the world, go into the world and, I don't even know how to say it, go into the world and let everybody just be on their own and let everybody just, you get what I'm trying to say, right? So, we're not called to be lone rangers, we're not called, think about it, it's difficult to attack a lion in the midst of a lion, but it's easier to attack one lion that is standing on its own. You get the point? Yeah. Even when a lion wants to attack another animal, more often than you really see a lion going into the midst of groups of antelopes together. If at all that's what happened, what do you eventually see? You see maybe they are chasing them and all the antelopes are running. They are trying to look for the last antelope that cannot run. Yeah. Eventually, that last antelope is still in the isolation. Because if you were that intelligent as much, you should have found yourself in the front of the people who are on. I'm just joking. But what I'm trying to say is that you don't get yourself to be isolated on the things of God. Build that community and get people who can stand in faith with you. Let me tell you, you want friends who you would have. You want brothers and sisters in your local church. You want family members alike in your local church. Who you will call them and say, I just left the hospital and this was the report they said. And the first thing they said, that will not take your life. You are going to come back alive. You're going to leave that hospital alive. You are going, yeah, you just need words like that. Oh, and they just put me on the hospital bed. They just said that this is what happened. My virtual, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'll close with this story. You see, I had a friend who, you know, there was a health conversation around something that was happening to him, and I sensed it, right? And I sensed it. And it was something that could be avoided. But when I sensed it, I just took a time to pray. Now, what happened on a Sunday? My wife will remember this very well. On a Sunday, right, we're in church. And what it has never happened before. Whilst in the middle of a church service, I picked up my phone, right, and I sent a message. I sent a message. Oh, no, when service was just about finishing, announcement time, I remember, right? While in the middle of the announcement, it just flashed back in. I just sent a message. And that's when I found out that my friend who I messaged eventually was going through something very, very interesting, right? And interestingly, you know, that thing was life-threatening, you know? And eventually, in my mind, one of the conversations I eventually had was, why did you think that it was something that we could join our faith together and pray for? Because think about it, you didn't want to tell me, but I knew by the Spirit eventually. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm talking about some 3, 4 there about years ago, right? Obviously, you know, things have changed, and obviously the person knows better now, you know, but sometimes there are people who will just flash in your mind, and you know that you are led by God's Spirit that speaks to that person about it. Right. Sometimes it could even just be that the person you are speaking to has gone through that challenge, exactly that challenge before. And just the words of faith that will come out from their mouth and the examples of faith that they will share with you will just make you much more stabilized. Dear saints, we need that spiritual form of agreement. We need that spiritual form of, you know, association. We need to bask and actually build a relationship on the already supernatural, on the already existing supernatural relationship that exists with us. Right? Let's not think that we can do the journey alone. No, God knows more than that. God knows more than us. And we ought to actually pay a lot of attention to the wisdom that God has given to us in the relationship that is formed as being believers. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening.